House. And if you're visiting with us for the first time here at Lock Haven Baptist Church, thank you so much for being with us today. We are glad that you are here. We hope you enjoy yourself here at the house of God. And it is no secret, Memorial Day has come and gone because people are traveling all over the place. And it's good to have the Casons back from Australia. They made a long trip. I was wondering if he was going to come dressed like Crocodile Dundee today. But he's dressed sharp as usual. It's because Miss Shelley is the one that dressed him, I'm sure. And we got some in Alaska. We have others that are traveling and out. You can just look around. So glad to have you here. And this is just part of our summer. This is what happens from Labor Day to Memorial Day to Labor Day. People take vacations. And so what we have to do is pray that they will be safe, regenerated, and ready to come back to get to work here at the house of God when they get back in their place. And so let's enjoy the time, enjoy the weekend. Don't let it stress you out. Enjoy the summer. Because between vacations and summer camps, it sometimes seems like it's a skeleton crew. But it is good to have folks that can go take vacations. We could be a church where there's only three families and nobody could take vacations. Well, God is blessed in that fashion. So we're glad to be able to be here at God's house. The Financial Peace University finished up its third time of holding the class this past weekend. And Brother Hector and Sister Maria would like to honor some helpers, some special helpers that helped them during the time of the classes. They had special people who came in and did babysitting and nursery work for them so that not one person was overloaded or burdened. And I'm telling you, it's a good thing to have volunteers. It really is. It's a blessing. When you count yourself in for the cause when you're not even taking the class. So we appreciate all these here, ladies. So if I could, Chas, could you come up and help me for a minute, buddy? Chas, you come. All my other young ones are gone. I don't, Brother Victor, we didn't have nobody on the bus today, do we? Miss Vivian. Summer's here. I need your help. Where is those flowers, Brother? Oh, right here. I need you to take these and pass those out when I call these ladies' names, okay, to one. Miss Stephanie Venters, if you'll just stand, please, till he gets you a rose. Miss Vivian Russell. Miss Radizi Rodriguez, Miss Nancy Resto, Miss Rhonda Toombs, just stay standing until he comes by and gets you a flower. Miss Brianna Bentley, Miss Kinley Stockton, and Miss Bentley Stockton. You'll just stay standing until he helps you out. And get you a flower. This is an appreciation for being a help and a blessing to Brother Hector and Sister Maria there in the Financial Peace University. class. Give those ladies a hand. Thank you for your help. Honestly, from the bottom of our heart, we could not do nothing around here without volunteers. From the nursery workers to the bathroom cleaners, to those that help around the churchyard, maintenance and things of that nature, your help is a blessing. We've got one left over, right? All right. Thank you, buddy. Anybody you want to get that, Sister Maria?
Yeah, that was supposed to be for Rhonda Thomas, but she's not here. She also helped.
Okay. All right. I don't think it'll be living by the time Sister Rhonda gets back. You want somebody else to have it? Who?
Miss Kim.
Come here, buddy. That's a long walk, isn't it? Also, I want to announce we have camp coming up. I'll get done with all these advertisements here in a minute. We have camp coming up end of the month for the Teen Extreme, and we have junior camp coming up next month. Junior campers, if you have not paid your deposit, it is time to do so. Please do. Now, for senior camp, Teen Extreme camp, from next Friday, every Friday until the week we leave for camp, so that's 3 weeks from now, that's three Fridays. If you owe camp money, and you're having a little difficulty getting coming up with it, if you'll come here on Fridays at 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, we have work that we can have you do around here. We'll get you a real fidget spinner called a weed eater. A vacuum cleaner. A spray washer. These are real fidget spinners. By the time you get done fidgeting with them, about noon, you'll be wore out and won't be able to spin your fidget. But if you need camp money and you want to go to camp and you're signed up for camp, next three Fridays, 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, come by here, find me on the church property, and we'll put you to work and give you credits for those camp hours to go toward help pay your camp. You say, preacher, you make kids pay for camp? Well, yeah. They're the ones going to go enjoy it and have fun. So, but if you need help, help is available. That's what I'm saying. 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock for the next three Fridays to help you get to camp. That will be a blessing to you and to help your parents. And I promise you, you will enjoy camp much better if you put something into it. You will. So come by. And the church will be blessed to have you. We got a lot of work we can do around here to help you. Like it's like spring cleaning. We'll call it summer cleaning. All right, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 32. Again, we will not stay long throughout the rest of the day. All the advertisements done. A lot of advertisements that we had to get out there. But we're going to get into the Word of God, and I hope you enjoy your time with us in the Word of God today. Jeremiah 32. I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah had a tough task being a man of God during his time. Very tough. He lived in a tough time. His country was under attack. The nation of Israel was under attack. And it was by their own choosing and doing, as we read through here. Proverbs 22 says, the curse causeless shall not come. I posted something the other day, just said this, that don't cry when it rains when you created your own thunderstorm. I don't know, it's not exactly how it went. It probably don't even make sense like there. How did it go? Some of you saw it. Huh? That was very close, wasn't it? We create our own thunderstorms and then cry when it rains. Can't do that. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the nation of Israel was reaping exactly what they had sowed. And our nation's under attack. Friend, if you haven't noticed and hadn't looked around us, and I'm not talking about bombs and North Korea and all that. I'm talking spiritual warfare. We are under a serious spiritual attack as a nation. Our children are under attack, left and right. They're not being taught education anymore. They're being almost indoctrinated at our school systems. And I don't care if it's public, private, or charter, or Christian, whatever they call it. It's in all levels, in all areas. Our kids need prayer. They need to have churches and church people and deacons, deacons' wives, and grandmas and grandpas, and Sunday school teachers, and song leaders and choir leaders down on their knees before the face of God. For our children have never been under such attack as this. Our families are under attack. I mean, we're under attack. I mean, we reorganizing families after 7,000 years of biblical history of what God created as families. And it's a serious attack, you know. So Jeremiah lived in a very difficult time. And he had been given a tough message to deliver. Can you imagine with me for a moment? This is just a little background before I start reading. I'm going to read several scriptures, kind of lengthy passage, but I want to give you a little background. Can you imagine with me for a moment? You've got to go up to the king, and you've got to tell the king, you and this nation is about to be defeated. Y'all are going down. It cost him. Jeremiah went to prison. He was put in prison and was afflicted with bread and water. He didn't even get a bologna sandwich. They took the bologna out, gave him some dry, moldy bread, some water, for telling the truth, telling God's message. Twice, as we read here, you'll hear, and the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And it'll say something like this, and the word of the Lord came a second time to Jeremiah. He lived in a difficult time. Standing before the king. Can you imagine standing before the president today and letting him know that our nation, because of the choices that we've made as a nation, because we have turned ourselves aside from God, and any nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. That's what the Bible says. And you stand before the nation, the president of the nation, you say, our nation is going to crumble and fall and be carried off captive because of the choices that we have made as a nation. You understand that choices that a nation makes comes from individual choices, family choices, church choices. Church is not important anymore to a lot of folks. Really is not. And I don't know why, because Jesus Christ died and gave himself for the church. Should be important. We should have priorities. It should be a prioritized thing in our life. I had a blessing this week. You know, church to me is a blessing. When we drove up back here, asked Maury, the first thing I did was took a picture of our church. I was glad to be back. I was thrilled to be back here at the House of God. But while we was away last week, we went to church up in Snellville, Georgia. Just randomly picked the church, and while we was there, I was sitting there waiting at Sunday school to start, and I saw a young man walk across there, and I reckoned, I said, I know that guy. And he kept walking, my mind kept working. You know when you know somebody, you can't really line them up? And as he got about to the middle, that young man, remember 9 years ago when he came here, Landmark Baptist College came up here and helped us go knock doors. That young man was one of those young men. Now he's the associate pastor up there at that church where we stopped in Sunday morning. That blessed my heart. That a man, a young kid, a college kid, went to college down here in Haines City. While he was here, had the opportunity to come help our church, and yet now he's serving the Lord up there. Married, got a wife, and he brought his wife over and introduced. Well, that just blessed me. I was already, listen, I had a wonderful blessing of the Lord. I wouldn't have had that if I hadn't went to church. That's just a blessing to me to see Brian and his new wife there. So church should be a type of priority for us. Should be, you know, on the number one list. It is for me. It is for my wife and I. Boy, we really enjoy church. Well, you're a preacher. You know, I wasn't a preacher last week. I mean, I was a preacher, I'm sorry. I didn't just check out of being a preacher. I wasn't in the pulpit. That wasn't, none of y'all had known I didn't go to church. If I didn't go Wednesday night, Sunday night, Sunday morning. We went Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Three different churches. Not one of y'all would have known that. Unless I told you. I tell you who would have known? God. I didn't go check out on vacation and go without God. See, it's got to be a priority. Got to be a priority. Jeremiah chapter 32. I done made some of you mad, so I'm going to quit. Make you happy. Jeremiah 32:17. We're going to read a lengthy passage all the way down through Jeremiah 33:3. So stay with me. Follow along in your Bibles. Jeremiah 32, because we need this here to get through. When I get to the message, it's going to be really quick. Bang, bang, bang. So just follow along with the Word of God. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power, stretched out arm. There is nothing too hard for Thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name. Great in counsel, mighty in work. For Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Verse 20. Which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among the other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 23. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice, neither walked in thy law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Wow, sounds like today, doesn't it? Therefore, thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold the mounts, they are come unto the city to take it. The city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it because of the sword, famine, pestilence, what thou hast spoken to come to pass. And behold, thou seest it. Verse 25. And thou hast said to me, unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses. For the city is given unto the hand of the Chaldeans. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city unto the hand of the Chaldeans, unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And the Chaldeans that fight against this city shall come and set fire on this city and burn it with the houses upon whose roofs they have offered incense unto Baal, poured out drink offerings unto other gods to provoke me to anger. Verse 30. For the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and of my fury from the day that they built it, even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, and the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Israel. Verse 33, and they have turned unto me the back, and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name to defile it. Verse 35. And they built in the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the sons of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I command them not, neither came it unto my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the city whereof ye say, it shall be delivered unto the hand of the king of Babylon by the sword and by the famine, by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and great wrath. I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Verse 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. For I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Verse 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. The fields shall be bought in this land, there whereof ye say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given to the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money, and subscribe evidence, and seal them, and make witnesses in the land of Benjamin, and the place about Jerusalem, and the cities of Judah, and the cities of the mountains, and the cities of the valley, in the cities of the south, and I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Chapter 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I know it was a lengthy passage. I think it was needful that we'd read such a lengthy passage to get an understanding of the God of the impossibilities. I know that many of you are facing some impossible tasks right now with your families. Maybe with your work, maybe with your children, maybe with extended families. Maybe you're facing impossible situations concerning financial decisions that you made in the past. You're living in a difficult time, to just be honest with you. Not a lot of folks promoting godliness anymore. Not a lot of folks promoting holiness and righteousness. We promote more programs than we do the righteousness of God. I'm going to tell you something. It's not programs that's going to change the heart of men. It's going to be the righteousness and preaching of the holiness of God that's going to draw all men to Him. And that's what we got to focus on. Now, we use programs as tools, but the tools don't replace the administration of the Word of God. And we got to stay clear on that. It's a difficult time. It's a difficult time. And I'm not talking in an ecumenical way. I don't believe in ecumenicalism. Not at all. I believe in the local institution of the church, that the church itself, this body, has the autonomous authority to make decisions within its walls and its memberships to do whatever is necessary to propagate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I never thought in my life, Brother Jim, that I'd see a time where denominations are fighting whether or not to approve and to say that it's okay for the pastor whether or not he'd be a homosexual or not. I never thought of it. Never in my life. Do you understand in some of these denominational cities that the denominational headquarters own the very building? The other day, the UPS guy dropped off some packages here right before I left. I think last Thursday, he dropped off some packages for the church. And he said, these here are for the pastor. He must be a very wealthy man. I said, yeah, he is. He's got eternal value. He's got so much wealth in heaven that he can hardly even stand to count it up. He said, but I'd like to meet him. I said, you're looking at him. I had on my holy jeans and my grease. I was working on that printing press. And he said, you own all this? I said, no, all this belongs to the church, the membership of Lock Haven Baptist Church. It doesn't belong to me. He said, I wonder why our church don't do it that way. Our pastor owns everything. Ain't that amazing? But a lot of these denominational settings, the denominational headquarters own it. So you think about it for a moment. Just think for one moment we was part of some kind of city where they were going to make a decision that says the pastor could be a homosexual and it's okay. And we as a church had to make a decision. We can't follow that. Do you understand we'd have to go without the building? That's what's going on today in a lot of these denominations. And they're making decisions. Praise God for them. I'll tell you, I'm not ecumenical. But praise God for them that they're at least realizing this is wrong and they're making a stand and a decision to say we're not going this way anymore. This is a difficult time. That is an impossible situation. Think about it. Some of you have been, Sister Barbara, how long y'all been here members? 55 years. Right here on this property. And they would have to say, we are in agreement. We can't go any longer. That's a difficult situation to be placed in. There's a lot of roots have been laid down. But they're having to make it. Because we live in a difficult day. Listen, God loves all people. He does. He loves all people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the world encompasses a whole bunch of people. To be honest with you, I was a drunkard and a whoremonger when the Lord Jesus Christ found me and saved me. Such was some of you. God doesn't hate people. He loves all people. But He has a standard of living. He has a standard that He's put down. And here in our passage, God gave them, He goes through there and says, through great miracles and wonders and signs, and He brought them out of Egypt and He gave them this land, and now He's taking it back from them because they came up into the house of God, He said there, in the place which is called by My name, and they started offering to Baal. This is a difficult time for Jeremiah to live in. This is a difficult situation. But Jeremiah has confidence in this very situation. So I'm going to tell you today, in your difficult hour, we have a God of the impossibilities, of the impossible that wants to work through you and I. This is a difficult time. Yes, it seems as though everybody's hiding their little light and not letting it shine. We're to let our little light shine. So that the world may see God's good works, our good works, and glorify God which is in heaven. Back in verse 17 in our text, the Bible says, O Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth and Thy great power and stretched out your arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Listen, Jeremiah had confidence in prison. He had done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. Now he's in prison. All thing he did was tell them what God had said to tell them. And now he's in prison. Not only is he in prison, he's got bread and water, and that's all he gets. He don't even get one meal a day. He gets a little bit of bread, a little bit of water. It's a difficult time in the life of Jeremiah, and yet he has confidence. I tell you, you can have confidence. Do you know the Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, verse number 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, listen, we go through some difficult times in life. I'm not going to lie to you. It seems like we go through one storm into another, out of a storm, and you know, up the mountaintop, down to the valley. That's part of life. There is no bed of roses when you come and be part of God's family. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's no bed of roses. Listen, when you get saved, you turn your life over to Christ, you save Him as you accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, it does not put an umbrella of protection, doesn't put a force field around you that you'll never experience death of a loved one. It never says you'll not experience a child that goes wayward. It never says that you'll never have a dispute or an argument with another brother or sister in Christ. Never. You're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have heartaches. But creation, order, give us confidence. Redemption, the fact that Jesus Christ died, not only died, rose again the third day and lives forevermore. Or to give us confidence through the valley of the shadow of death that there is coming a mountaintop one day again. That the darkness of night shall not always shine, that the sun will come out, that every storm ends with the ending of rain and comes out the bright shining of the sun. You got to have confidence. And Jeremiah says, Ah, Lord God. You said explanation point. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made. He had confidence. We can have confidence. Whatever difficulty you're going through right now. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what situation you're going through. I don't know, but I'm telling you, I do understand that we all have difficult times in our Christian walk. We live in a difficult time in our nation. So it is a difficult time, but you can have confidence. Miracles are easy for God because He's the God of creation. You know why they're trying to fight and distort and to do away with the creation story? There's confidence in believers who know that there is a God who created all this. Listen, evolutionists have no confidence in their theory. Well, how do you know that? Because it keeps changing. 14 billion, 16 trillion years ago, there was a booger that somebody pulled out of their head that exploded into an amoeba. Well, no, it wasn't really like that. It wasn't a booger. It was just something. It was matter. That's matter. You ever sneeze? Stuff goes everywhere if you can't get your hand up there quick enough. Oh, Lord. I'm sick to my stomach, preacher. They have no confidence in their story. My story has stayed the same. It's God's story. It has stayed the same. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I can look back at that and I can have confidence in that. You remember the story over in Luke? I believe in Luke chapter number 1, verse number 34, Mary is talking to the angel Gabriel and said, How can this be? Seeing I know not a man, talking about the virgin birth. And it said this, Is anything too hard for God? Is anything impossible for God? So whatever heartache, whatever difficulty, whatever situation you're going through today, dear friend, listen, creation should bring confidence. Not only creation of the world as we know it, but the creation of a new heart. You know exactly what you were when God found you. I can look back. And I can tell you, if God hadn't found me and saved my soul and made me part of His family, I wouldn't have celebrated 30 years of marriage this year. I wouldn't have been on vacation this past week up in Stone Mountain and Pigeon Forge with my wife of 30 years last week. I'd probably been on my fifth wife if another one would have me. God, I can look back and I can see, Brother David, I can look and see, and that brings confidence. Though I might backslid, though I might turn, though I may slow down on God, though I may withdraw a little bit, boy, when I look back and I see creation, all of its glory, and I can see those smoky mountains, and I can see all that went on up there in the creation of God, then I can look back in my life and I can see the new creature in Christ that I am now. Different, it brings confidence. But it doesn't remove the difficulty. They're still tomorrow going to rise up there in Tallahassee and try to fight godliness. They're going to try to remove holiness. It's going to keep going. But I have confidence. I have great confidence. Now listen. Verse 27. We saw 17. Verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made. And there's the confidence. Then God asked a question. Verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of only them Anglo-Saxons, only those Asians, only those Europeans, only those from Africa. I am the God of all flesh. And this is the question. Is there anything too hard for me? I'm going to tell you, every morning, we ought to ask ourselves that question. Is there anything that's too hard for my God to do for me? Just ask yourself. God wants us to know He can handle any problem. And He asked Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me? And when we think back to creation, we couldn't have come up with creation like we know it. We can't even put together one of those pieces of furniture from Walmart real good. You know, they come from China. They're in a box that big, but yet they end up big as this here pulpit. And we look over there and there's five or six, seven little things left over. Can you imagine the world that you and I created? Whoa, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in a difficult situation. We wouldn't be able to even hardly, our boats would be tilted over to one side. There's nothing too hard for God. The Lord's question here should produce an unquestioning faith within us as we think back. Remember, He's in prison right now. Jeremiah's in prison. The word of the Lord came to him in the prison. What if he had to think back and look at the situation and say, man, is there anything? Can I ask you this morning? What are you worried about that God can't handle? Because you're caring. He said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. What are you worried about that God can't handle? Ask yourself, because you're carrying a burden that you don't have to carry. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke and my burden is light and it's easy. What are you carrying? Ask yourself, what is it? I'm going to tell you this. My lack of faith has stolen so much peace of mind. My lack of faith has stolen so much peace of mind. Can I just say this for a moment? Trust God and relax. If He could handle everything that went on here and in 1948 bring Israel right back and plant them like He said, What can he not do for you? It's amazing. It wasn't an accident that happened, by the way. It was God's providence that there are nations today again. So just, God, listen. God calls. Come on. Come on. Well, where did he do that? Chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's a call to man from God, and all he wants you to do is converse with him, reason with him, spend time with him. You know what we do generally? In the difficult hours, we run away from God. We shy away from God. Listen, for some reason or other, we think that when difficulty comes upon us and heartache comes upon us, that our God's going to be ashamed of us. And so we're scared to approach Him. But listen, like a deer panic, run to the Lord. Have confidence in God. And know that there is nothing impossible. Oh, where we are does not limit God either. Where we are in our life and our state does not limit God. How do you know that? Jeremiah's in prison. Didn't limit God from talking to Jeremiah. In that dark night, when that tear's rolling down your cheek, doesn't limit God. He's there. He'll come upon you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to spend time with you. Listen, Jeremiah was promised great and mighty things. He was promised answered prayer. Call unto me and I will answer. You know what they did? Most of the time our problem is whenever God answers, we're just not satisfied with the answer. So we're bothered, troubled. Don't settle for less than God's best. And if God's best is something besides what your heart desires, be content. Be content. This promise has been claimed by millions. How many of you have read that verse before? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. I've seen it, and I've heard it, I've seen it preached. Been claimed by millions. Do you understand something? It doesn't matter how many more millions claim it. It doesn't limit God's power. Oh, they didn't use that one up. Listen, this ain't like a bunch of tires. God don't have no 60,000 mile warranty on His Word. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. It's not a limited warranty. This is full and assured warranty. Saved to the uttermost. Now, let me tell you something. This promise today to Jeremiah, I know in context who he was writing to and I know what it's about. But this promise in context for us today is still available for you and I. Still available. Let's close with this thought. What great and mighty thing do you need God to answer? Listen, sometimes when I look at your problems, I might not think they're great and mighty, but my opinion doesn't matter. It's your heart that matters. There's whatever it is. Do you know that when sparrows fall down to the ground dead, God knows. Whatever it is, what great and mighty things do you need from God now? Heartache, pain, suffering, illness, sickness, child rearing, job, financial. Whatever's great, listen, look to God in faith. Because we have a God of the impossible. We have a God of the impossible. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist is going to come. Brother Jim's going to come lead us in the song.